right. Hey, we just we wrapped up our Acts series last week on advancing the gospel. And this week we're going to begin our series titled Our God. And we're going to take so many weeks to look at who God is. Obviously, we're not going to be able to cover all of who God is, right? That would be impossible, right? But we're going to cover some of who He is as we walk through these next so many weeks. Who God is. And this week we begin our series with He is our shepherd, my shepherd, your shepherd. Amen, church? And for years, if you ask somebody, I want to get your brain thinking this way. If you ask somebody, how are you today? What was the most common response? I'm fine, I'm good, was the number one, I'm good. A new survey has said that good is no longer the most common response. The most common response is, how are you today, is busy. How are you today? I'm busy, man. You know, I'm busy. Busyness seems to be the new social competition. Like the keeping up with the Joneses is no longer about how much money or how many cars or how big of a house you have. It's about how busy you are. What's going on in your life? You are successful, and more important, the more busy you are, says the world. Many lives of those, so we have this busyness, and then we have many lives around us. Not only are they busy, maybe many in this room are busy, but also filled with fear and worry and doubt and anxiety. Where will my next paycheck come from? How will I ever retire? I have loved ones that are deployed. Are we safe? Right? It can seem like we got peaks and valleys, right? It seems like our peaks can be less and less, and our valleys just last forever. Are you guys with me on that one? Our valleys can just last forever. I want to remind us this morning that we serve a good God. Amen, church? A loving God. He's not this, let me throw this out there, He's not this distant man upstairs. I know sometimes people can call Him that. I'd push back on that. That's just not who God is. God's not this old man sitting in the rocking chair waiting for us to mess up, right? Or this disconnected guy. He hasn't checked out on us. He is a present, sovereign, caring, all-knowing, all-loving God. In our busyness, God is there. In our hurt, in our anxiety, God is there. He is in our joys and in our sorrows, He's there. In our peaks and our valleys, we can know that God is there. This morning, I'd like for you to open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 23. Right in the middle of your Bible, Psalm chapter 23. Psalm 23 is one of the most recognized and memorized passages in all the Old Testament, if not in all of Scripture. Anybody ever memorize Psalm 23 when they were little? Right, I remember when I was a little guy, right? We were in class and the teachers would have us, week after week, they would have us learn Psalm 23. It's a passage that has been dissected, each and every word is looked at, all the imagery within it has been explored. It's a passage that entire books have been written on, and it's read and it's preached and looked at for funerals and hospital bedside visits. So what is it about Psalm 23 that has brought so many people comfort? What is it about this text that has given so many of us the encouragement we needed? Or maybe you weren't aware of Psalm 23, and we're gonna just open that up for us today. If you're walking through a difficult time, church, right? I'll just raise my hand for everybody. We've all walked through difficult times, right? And you may be in that spot right now, or maybe you're not, but you've been in one, or we can be pretty sure that we're gonna run through one, aren't we? A tough time. So just listen to these words, if you would. And just to be respectful to God's word, if you guys would stand with me as we read Psalm 23 together, it'll be up on the screen as well. Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters or still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You, God, are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray this morning. God, we love You. We thank You for God's word. We thank You that we can open it up and just see who God is and just get a taste of who God is and what He has for us. Be with us this morning, Father, and we pray, Lord, that your words from the Bible would just penetrate hearts this morning and reach people where they are. So we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Be seated. When we look at passages, when I look at passages, I like to know who wrote them, why they wrote it, what's all the circumstances around it. And we don't know the exact circumstance that this psalm was written, but we do know it's written by David. Shepherd David, King David, right? And so many of us know that David spent many years as a shepherd. Man, I love the story of him taking out Goliath, right? I mean, that's just a good story. But man, he tended to flock and to his sheep, protecting them, just watching over them, leading them. And here we're going to use the imagery of the shepherd to show and describe David's personal relationship with his Lord. The idea behind God's role as shepherd is a loving, caring, and concern. David found comfort and security knowing that God cared for him like a shepherd cares for his sheep. If you're not familiar, there's a man named Charles Spurgeon that from the 1800s is a great preacher from that time, and he says this: "A sheep is an object of property, not a wild animal. Its owner sets great store by it, and frequently it is bought with a great price. It is well to know, as certainly as David did, that we belong to the Lord. There is a noble tone of confidence about this sentence. There is no if, no but, nor even I hope so, but he says, 'The Lord is my shepherd.'" And we get to see God as our shepherd, and we get to see him in a very personal way. This morning, I want us to see God, just think about that, God as our shepherd. And think about, I want us to see some truths from the Word of God this morning. So whether wherever you're at, whether you're in a valley, you're on a peak, wherever, maybe you're just in the middle somewhere, right? Wherever you're at, let's just be reminded of God's great love for us this morning. And I will tell you, anybody like action-packed movies? Anybody like, I'm an action-packed movie guy. And just me, okay. I got three, four people. Okay. We're going to slow down because we walk through Acts and it's just action-packed, right? I mean, just lots going on, people dying, people living, people, well, that's a good thing, right? And people just, I mean, things are happening, God's moving, and then we're going to slow down a little bit and just see who God is as a shepherd. And the first one, the truth number one is this: your shepherd's care is incredibly personal. If you've got your bulletins, if you need one, slip your hand up, we'll get one for you. Okay, so on the back of your bulletin are some notes. Your shepherd's care is incredibly personal. Many times as we walk through Scripture, we see the community and the body that He is our God and He is our Lord, right? And that's true, right? And it's amazing to me that we serve the same God that Abraham and that Moses served. And the same God that Peter and Paul spoke of and served. The same God that led the people out of Israel and the same God that led the people in the first century church in Acts. He is our God and we are His people, but He is also your God. Right? He's my God. Sometimes we forget to look at it that way, in the personal way. He's an incredibly personable God. Look at these words. If you've got your passage, we're not going to have them all up here, but if you've got Psalm 23, just kind of follow through with me. Look at the words that he uses, that David uses. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. Even when I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. "Your rod and staff comfort me. You prepared a table before me. You anoint my head. My cup overflows. Goodness and mercy will follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We hear a lot of the us and you and, you know, we're and all that stuff, but this is just personal. It's me and I and you. And just sit that. Just let it sit with you for a second. Sometimes we look at God as this distant guy just up there in the sky, and he's just kind of the God over all of his people, but he's our God and our shepherd. He knows you. He cares for you. He loves you. And this is what I love. The Lord is well aware of you and every single detail in your life. And there's things that about me that just people don't know, right? We have those things. People don't, man, God knows them. And here's the crazy thing. He still loves me, right? He still loves me, knowing all the details. He's there with you. When life is going good and going well, God's with you. We're in that valley feeling lonely and hurting by ourselves. Right? We get to those points where nobody's really able to understand, but we have Jehovah God, we have the Creator of all things with you and with me. The Shepherd is with us, personally caring for you. I just love that we're never alone. Paul describes in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that when everyone else deserted him, when everyone else left him, the Lord stood by him and strengthened him. What a great reminder that He's going to strengthen us. He's not going to desert us. It's kind of scary, but He knows us better than we know ourselves. Right? Psalm 130:139 says that God is intimately acquainted with all of my ways. There have been times in my life where I needed to be reminded that my Lord, my Shepherd was with me, that He cared about me personally. Anybody had those moments? Right? You just, man, I don't need a distant God right now. I need a personal God. Even those that love you and want to help, sometimes they just can't. Sometimes they can't. They don't know how. But God's a personal God. I remember just sharing just a little bit of a openness with you guys. Like, I struggle with anxiety, and I was going through some anxiety earlier this week, and my wife was like, "How can I help you?" And I was like, "I have no idea." Right? It's like, I don't know. But God knows. He knows. So remember the first truth, that your shepherd's care is incredibly personal for us, Emmanuel. Remember Jesus, God with us. He bought us with a great price. He cares for you. And that leads us to our second truth. And your shepherd will always provide. Your shepherd, God, will always provide. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David is saying, all of my needs are supplied by the Lord, by my shepherd. To not want means to not lack. When you and I are experiencing pain, it's usually because we're lacking something, right? We're lacking a person being there or a relationship. The Lord, your shepherd, is providing you with peace during those moments. When you're feeling hurt and pain, He's there to provide the healing. When you have weakness, He's providing His strength. Anybody know the children's song, Jesus Loves Me? We're going to sing that. Mason, let's sing it, bro. You're right. No, I'm kidding. All right. We sing that in our home. And my son, mainly my oldest son, will say, Daddy, let's sing Jesus Loves Me. It's usually because he wants to stay up later, but I'm going to sing Jesus Loves Me with him, right? And you come to that part and it says, little ones to Him, to God, belong. They are weak, but He is what, church? He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. And I love that He provides the strength. And we get to teach our little boys that right now, that He gives them that strength. Like He did for Paul, as we mentioned earlier, when we are weak and abandoned and alone. Or how about when we're lost or misled or we're confused or don't know what to do? He's providing His wisdom through His personal relationship with you, through the Holy Spirit and through the Bible. He provides wisdom. So your shepherd and my shepherd, they never stop providing. Look at that verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I'm going to get into a lot of the imagery that He's using here for shepherds. The verse shows the Lord caring for us, His sheep. He's, you know, we're looked at as a sheep here. Sheep are not always known for being the smartest animals in the world, right? And when we compare our wisdom and our knowledge to God, I mean, we can kind of get that picture a little bit. So they're not always known for what's best for me. Like, sheep don't just like sit there and think about what's best for me and they do it. They're just not known for that, right? What do we need to do? So their help comes from their who? Their shepherd, right? It's unusual, it says here, He makes me lie down. It's unusual for a sheep to lie down. If a sheep is scared or they have some sort of fear or if there's some anxiety or unrest within their group of the sheep or they're uncomfortable due to flies or parasites, those dudes are not going to lay down. Those sheep, dudes, I don't know. Sheep are not going to lay down. It's in the Greek somewhere, guys. Actually, it'd be Hebrew, right? But they're not going to lay down. So it would be the shepherd's responsibility to make sure there was no danger, right? To make sure it was a safe place, nothing would bring them harm, and give them a place of rest. And God does that. He makes sure that as our shepherd, to make sure there's no danger to bring us harm, He gives us a place of safety and rest. And David writes, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters or still waters. The shepherd knows when the sheep need green pastures and when they need still or quiet waters. For us, Jessica and I, last night, it came at about 8:30, right? Crazy kids, things going on, and 8:30 came and they were going to bed and we kind of had some peace and quiet. Y'all are looking at me like I'm nuts, right? You need that, right, parents? Okay. So he makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. David provides for us some great imagery of the comfort and the safety and the care, the rest, and even the peace that God provides. Just imagine that, the calmness that God brings to refresh us. What else does God provide? Look at verse 3. It says, He restores my soul. I love this imagery, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this. The language that David uses throughout here is language that these people in their time would really understand. I had to study what it meant to be a shepherd and what sheep do. You know, I'm not a farmer guy, right? That's just not my thing. But he wrote in a way they would understand. So they understood that the idea of a shepherd making a sheep lie down and the difficulty and what needs to happen around that and leading them to still waters or protecting and providing for them. And then we look at this. He restores my soul. To think about restore. Think about this for a second. Sheep are built in such a way that if they fall over, there's not a good chance those guys are getting back up. Whether it's because they're pregnant or their wool's too big or they're clumsy or they get knocked over by somebody else or they fall down, whatever it is, they fall over on their side and then onto their back and then they can't get back up. They began to kick their legs in the air, and when they do that, they also are crying out. They have this cry that they give out. It's like, help me, right? I can't do anything right now, which is good, because if there's a shepherd close by, the shepherd comes by, but it also attracts predators. And after being on their backs for too long, gas begins to build up in the stomach hardens, their airways get blocked off, and the sheep would eventually die if left there, either by suffocation or starvation or even a predator. So being in a position like that, laying on their back, is called cast down. You guys with me? They're in the cast down position. So a shepherd would be watching out for his sheep, and when he saw this, he would go and he would restore the cast down sheep. That's the imagery that David's trying to get us to here. And to restore his sheep, here's what the shepherd would do. He would come up to the sheep and he would have to calm it. He would have to give it assurance. And then he would turn the sheep over and help the sheep back up on its feet. Many times, because they've had, how long they have their legs up in the air, he might have to massage the legs a little bit to get circulation going and really kind of have to hold on to that poor little thing, right? Because they might fall over. Anybody ever like stand up in the morning and they're just dizzy? I mean, just think about laying on your back forever and just being plopped back up. So he would hold, or she would hold the animal up so it could kind of collect itself. So David says, think about that in your own life. Think, David says, God restores his soul. Sometimes we find ourselves in bad places. Maybe we're stuck in some guilt or grief, or maybe it's a sin. Right? Maybe somebody else knocked us down. Maybe it was just a hard time and we need restored. We need put back on our feet because we're laying there kicking and screaming like a crazy sheep. Now I'm picturing me doing that, right? I mean, just think about yourself. Just do that for a second. Think about yourself laying down there just kicking. And he restores us. He's painting a picture. David is painting a picture of what God can do for us. He restores our soul. He restores your soul and my soul. He provides us with his grace. When we get ourselves into a mess or somebody else gets us into a mess, God's grace is just good. It's faithful. And he sees us. We cry out to him like sheep just kicking on our backs. And God picks us up. He restores us. And here's the crazy thing. He alone is the only one that can restore us. But yet we run all over the place trying to figure out who else can restore us. Somebody say something on Facebook that makes me feel better. Let me run over to this and so I can get affirmation from somebody else. Let me get help from somebody else. No, the Lord says, I'm the restorer. Right? He alone is capable of completely restoring us. That he'll use people to help build us up, but it's the Lord that does the restoring. I love this. Your shepherd, your God, loves to take what is broken or turned upside down in us and restoring us. He takes joy in that. Like grabbing a hold of us when we need, when we're on our backs kicking and screaming and just restoring us. He loves to restore you and me. He's not this crazy white-haired guy with a cane ready to just whack you on the head when you mess up. He's loving and ready to restore you. So David writes, He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. God enables me and you to walk in righteousness. Again, we spend a whole lot of time trying to do things on our own, don't we? Man, that's what religion is all about. Religion is all about, what can I do to earn my way? What can I do to get right? What can I do to get to heaven? What can I do to get to God? Well, Jesus made that really clear. He's like, man, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? He's the only way. And we find ourselves trying to do things on our own, and we find ourselves walking down the wrong path, walking away from God. Just as sheep really have no clue how to get back to the fold, how to get back to where they need to be, we need the Lord to lead us and guide us in that way. And the Lord leads us in that. He leads us to be followers of Him, to walk in righteousness. To walk in righteousness is this, church. It's to do what is right in the eyes of God. Not in the eyes of Pastor Jeff or your wife, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, just to do what is right in the eyes of God. So He leads us in that, to walk in goodness and to do what's right in righteousness, to walk in what is right in God. And so we see this. He does all of this for His name's sake. Let me read this. So we've got all that He's done so far. He leads me. He makes me sit down, all this stuff. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness. And what's it say, church? For His name's sake. Your shepherd and my shepherd, He refreshes us. He protects us. He calms us. He has us sit down. He provides for us. He restores us. And He guides us in righteousness for His name's sake. What does that mean? Right? He does all of these things. He restores, He guides, He protects, He leads. He does all of these things. Why, church? Because that's who God is. Right? That's who God is. His glory, His character, His reputation all point to God being our shepherd. It all points to God being our shepherd that wants to lead us and restore us. He shepherds because that's who He is. I think about, Jessica and I have walked through this before, you know, Jax was born, our firstborn. We're like, how in the world are we going to do this? Right? Ladies, but you just learn how to be mom. Why? Because that's who you are. Dads, man, we learn how to be dads. Why? Because that's who we are. But that's who God is. He is these things. He is the restorer, the leader. He is the one that guides us. So under truth number two is this. So He's going to provide for us, but your shepherd provides because of His grace, not your ability. Get this picture with these sheep. These sheep, man, they're really not capable of a whole lot. And honestly, I'm not calling us dumb, but they are one of the dumbest animals out there, right? And so they need guiding and everything. They need to say to their shepherd, I just surrender to you. I'm going to give you all of me because I can't do this. Your shepherd will always provide, but not because you and I deserve it or because we're capable. He provides because we cannot. He provides for us because we cannot. He provides all of these things because He leads and He guides and He sets us down. He takes care of us because we cannot. It is His love for us because of His goodness, because of His personal care for you, because of who God is. That's why He does this. Praise God for His grace and His provision. Amen, church? I mean, just think about that, man. I don't know where I would be without God's guiding. Look to verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. David says this, even when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice he doesn't say, when I walk on the mountaintop. Right? He says, even when I walk through the valley. It's a valley. He writes of a valley. It suggests, think about the valley. You're down. You're surrounded. The valley of the shadow of death also carries the meaning of walking through the valley of deep darkness. Think about this, man. Think about these valleys and how you felt when you're walking through a job loss or a relationship loss or a person that passed away or whatever it is that you're going through. For me, it's anxiety. When you're going through those things, just think about that. When it seems to be that we're going to face our ultimate defeat, when we're facing evil, when we are fearful, even for our life, David writes this, I have no fear when I'm in this valley. I have no fear when I'm surrounded. I have no fear when I'm down and out. I have no fear when I'm being threatened. Why? Because God, You're with me. Because you are with me. And I want us to notice something in David's language here. Beginning in verse 4. I want to see if you guys can get this here. I'm going to read just a little bit to you. Up until this point, we have seen, let's do this, this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores. Right? Think about that. He's been talking in third person. And what's he doing now? Right. He leads me. He guides me. Then you get to verse 4 and notice it doesn't say he is with me. David writes, God, you are with me. Do we see that? He was talking about God and now he's talking to God. And this makes a ton of sense to me. I've been there. And I'm going to share a story with you guys here in just a little bit and you'll be able to see some of that. But when there is a valley or a difficult time, man, I have cried out to God. I don't cry out and say, I hope that Lord helps me. Right? I mean, you cry out to God. Personally. And David says to God, God, I have nothing to fear because you are with me. Which leads us to our next truth. Your shepherd leads you nothing to fear. Your shepherd leads you nothing to fear. Knowing that the Lord God, your shepherd, is with you personally, walking with you, leading you, talking with you. We can take complete comfort of God being with us in those dark moments. I've gone to hospital visits before. I gotta tell you, man, it's not one of my favorite. It's kind of like part of my favorite part of one of my. Let me say that again. I love doing it, but I don't at the same time, right? Because anybody been there, right? You're praying with people and you're hurting with people and you're crying with people, but you can walk through them with that and let them know that there's nothing to fear because of God and He's with them. Because Jesus Himself defeated death and sin and darkness and all of His enemies, right? When Jesus bled and died on the cross for you and me, He rose again, right? With the third day, just as He promised, He left us with nothing to fear because He defeated death, right? So not even death. We have the hope and we know that death is not the end for us that know the Lord. I mean, think about that. I've been in hospital rooms before where the people next door, I mean, you don't know if they know the Lord or not. You don't know if they're believers in Christ. You don't know if they've been saved or not. But you're sitting there praying with somebody else that you know is going to lose their life. Or maybe they're not and you're praying that God's going to heal them. But you know what? Here's the cool thing. I have heard story after story after story where people are laying there in bed and saying, why are you crying for me? I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. Right? It kind of makes you want to go with them. Doesn't it? I mean, just think about that. That's what we have. We have the hope. The Bible says this. Those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And we get to spend eternity with Christ and the Father in heaven forever. Amen, church? Right? That's a big deal. That's a big deal. God is bigger than any threatening circumstance, any opponent, even death. Why? Because He defeated it. So we walk through those moments in life knowing it's not going to be easy, but God is going to provide for you. Because He's your shepherd, and my shepherd is with us. My shepherd, your shepherd, I think I said that twice. God is with you. God is with you. Just say that. Say that with me, church. God is with you. I mean, think about that. We look at God too often, even us that has walked with the Lord for a long time, we view Him as this distant God. I have prayed constantly, God, please be with me, when I should be saying, God, thank you for being with me. Let me rest in your arms. Going on, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were instruments used by a shepherd, right? The idea of a sturdy walking stick used to gently as possible. Sometimes I need a thumping, right, with that stick. Right, Levi? Me and you, man, are just sometimes just... No, Levi's good, man. But do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes we need that thumping, but it's used to guide the sheep and to protect from potential predators. So again, we see God providing with direction and protection. So you guys, some of you guys may have heard this before, but I want to walk through with you guys some of the times in my life that I needed a shepherd. I worked at a job that paid well. We didn't have to worry about anything. Financial reasons happened within the company and I got laid off. Those were fun times, weren't they? 6 months, right? Trying to do odd and jobs here and there and trying to make things work, trying to make sure, just honestly, just trying to make sure, like, I needed to do this. I didn't, but make sure my wife still loved me even though I wasn't providing for her. Does that make sense, man? I mean, you guys get that, right? I mean, you want to provide, and you know, society says, man, you gotta provide for your wife. Well, they don't really say that anymore, but you know, I mean, but me, I grew up, you know, my dad taught me, man, provide for your family. And I got into a moment where I wasn't able to provide. And in that same season, I get another job, and in that same season, right in with that same time, Jessica and I were trying to have kiddos. And we go to the doctor, and for a year maybe, trying to figure out what's wrong with Jessica. And the doctor says, have you ever been checked out? No, I don't need to check. Keep checking my wife out. She's got something wrong with her. But the doctor came back in, and he said, it's you. You. You're the reason, he didn't say it like this, but this is how I took it. You're the reason you're not having kiddos. You're the problem. And we left that doctor's office, and we're pulling out, and I look at my wife being so gracious to me because she's looking in the window in our vehicle, but you can see a reflection of her, and she's just sobbing. I got ticked. I just got angry with God. It's like, God, I'm serving you. I love you. I tell people about you. And you do this to me? You take away my job? You take away children from me? I've got friends and family members that have no right having kiddos, and they're popping them out like bunnies. And you're going to do this to me? And I went through that moment for a while, really looking at God as that, even though I knew Him and I loved Him and I knew the Word, but I looked at Him as the distant guy in the sky. I looked at Him as a guy that just wanted to bully me. And finally, I got to the point where I looked at my Savior, my God, as my shepherd. And I started crying out to Him. Lord, I need you. Right? I need you. I need you to comfort me. And He's saying to me, I've been there the whole time. You just haven't been paying attention. I'm here. I want you to lie down with me. I want to restore you. I want to lead you. I want to show you what I have for you because it's better than anything else you could ever imagine. And now we got two crazy little boys that give us cause to need more rest, right? And we got a foster baby in our home that we love dearly. We're still walking through God with a lot of this stuff, but church, see God as your shepherd. Church, are you with me? See Him as your shepherd. He's not this evil dude up in the sky that just wants to whack you and knock you down. He's not this distant guy. And by the way, He's not the cause of all the disasters we have on this earth. It's our sin, church. It's our sin that has caused these things. And He says, I'm still going to pursue you even in the midst of your own junk and your own sin and what other people have done and the just different things in your life. I'm still there with you. Kevin, can you... I want you guys just to hear part of this song. Go ahead, man, you're good. Just to hear part of this song. And I'm driving down the road screaming this song out. People have got to think that I'm nuts because I opened my sunroof so God could hear me better, right? Because He needed that. And I start crying out this song.
Like giving.
Imagine this crazy guy driving down the road, like pointing his finger up at God and like just making sure he could hear me sing that to him. I'm telling you, church. And God wants to be your shepherd. He wants to love on you. If you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, notice that part. If you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, the Lord is with you. If you've not given your life to Christ, this is the relationship, this is the love and the provision that God has there for you. So walking back through these truths, your shepherd's care is incredibly personal. He's not this distant guy in the sky that has better things to do than pay attention to you. He knows everything there is to know about you. It's time to get vulnerable with God. Your shepherd will always provide for you. In our inability, He in His grace continues to provide even when we don't deserve it. And your shepherd leads you nothing to fear. Your God is always with you. Then to verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. David is painting a picture here of the shepherd, and he is this provider and this protector. One commentator wrote about this particular verse and describes God as a host who has not only the bounty to feed me, but the power to protect me. And though surrounded by enemies, I sit down to this table with confidence, knowing that I shall feast in perfect security. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil and my cup overflows. This is the picture of the Lord providing sustenance for us. You prepare a table. God, you sustain me. You've anointed my head. God, you have blessed me. You fill me with joy. My cup overflows. Your God, your shepherd, not only sustains you and provides all you have, He blesses you and He satisfies you. And He does so in abundance, despite the dangers, despite the valleys, despite the enemies. David can enjoy the richness of God's goodness He was sustained and blessed, and God provides all of this so that it overflows. His love, His provision, His goodness is in abundance. God doesn't run out. I run out sometimes, right? Parents, are you guys with me? You got kids and you're just like, whoo, your turn. I need to go have a timeout, right? God doesn't run out. The next truth is this. Your shepherd, I love this, your shepherd is pursuing you with His everlasting love. David says, surely goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me. This word follows isn't talking about how sometimes our kids follow or our pets follow, right? You tell them, hey, come on, right? And they get off track a little bit, right? They get sidetracked, get behind, maybe lost. Anybody ever lost as a kid? Man, that was scary. I started following this dude that looked like my dad in the mall when I was little, and it was not him, and I was terrified. It has nothing to do with the sermon. It just came out, right? But sometimes we follow like that, right? The word follow actually here has the meaning to pursue, to follow right after you with an aim to secure. Right? I would suggest this is more like a loving parent with a child right there to catch them, chasing after them, to provide for them, to keep them safe, to restore them and set them up when they need it. David is saying, you are faithful, God, and I can count on my shepherd's goodness and mercy. He is pursuing you and me with His love. All of verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I love this, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His goodness and His loving kindness or His mercy is eternal. It's not a temporary thing. It is a faithful God that is faithfully pursuing you as a shepherd all the days of your life. Amen to that, right, church? And he wraps up by saying, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He ends this psalm with this calm assurance that he knows that he's going to enjoy the presence of the Lord forever, both here on earth and beyond. The last truth is this, church, your fellowship with your shepherd will never end. Fellowship with your shepherd will never end. By God's grace, because of who God is, His goodness and His mercy, His love will pursue you all the days of your life. And when our time here is through on earth, it's scary because we don't know, right? But it's only going to get better as we're going to dwell with Him. I think about the first really close person that passed away in my life was my grandfather. Anybody lost somebody really close? Man, and you just, whew, right? It stinks, right? But then you just know they're looking down at you, smiling, saying, man, don't worry about me. I got it a whole lot better than you do, right? Jessica and I, mainly Jessica and our family, but walked through a deal in 2011 where her dad died only at the age of 60, right? And you just walk through that. And I'm telling you, church, forgive me for saying this, but life sucks sometimes, doesn't it? I mean, it does, right? It's just like, man, this stinks. But God walked through. He's faithful, wasn't He, baby? He was faithful and walked through us, He walked with us through all of that. But we knew her dad, he's a guitar man, and we always, that's how he said a guitar, right? And we just imagine him playing the guitar with Jesus. I'm sure Jesus might be, what do you think, Bill? He might be a little bit better. You know, yeah, but your fellowship with your shepherd will never end. You will be in His presence forever. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, it'll be up here. But turn with me to John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. As we wrap up, this is one of those titles that Jesus has seven titles of I am. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the door. He says, now remember, this is Jesus speaking, which is who? God with us, Emmanuel, right? Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand, is not concerned about the sheep. And then he says in verse 14, Jesus says this because he is God. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Look to verse 17. I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. Jesus knew the wolf was coming. He laid down his life. on his own initiative. And he says, I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Jesus willingly laid down his life for you. Your shepherd laid down his life for you. And then he rose again the third day, just as he said. Church, this is how it is possible for us to live in the house of the Lord forever. Because Jesus came as the good shepherd. He cares for us. He pursues us. He laid down his life for us. He gave his life on the cross for you and for me. Why? Because he's a personal God. He is a personal God. Church, your shepherd's care for you is incredibly personal. Your shepherd will always provide. He will provide for you because of his love and his grace, not because we deserve anything. Your shepherd leaves you nothing to fear. When we walk through the hard times, when we walk through the valleys, the anxiety, the depression, the job loss, the loss of a loved one, the darkness, God is with us. Amen, church? God is there with us. He's not just distant. Let's knock that off, right? Get that out of our head. He is with us. He is pursuing with everlasting love, and he has made a way for you and your shepherd, for me and my shepherd, to have that fellowship forever, to be in his presence forever. So hear me on this, church. Whatever it is that you're going through, God is with you. He is leading you and guiding you and protecting you. He's not going anywhere. Now let me be very clear. The Lord wants that relationship for everybody. But if you have not had a time in your life where you have given your life to Jesus and said, Jesus, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, Jesus and God, they're pursuing, God is pursuing you. He wants this relationship with you. And he's standing there saying, I'm right here, right? I have this for you. I died for you. I rose again for you. You just have to believe. If that's you today and you're saying, man, I have tried on my own long enough. I have walked through this junk in my life long enough. I can't do it on my own anymore. Jesus, I need you. Right? I need to give you my life. If that's you today, man, come and find me. We'll talk. We'll pray together. Find somebody you're comfortable with. Don't leave today without making God your shepherd. Amen, church? Make God your shepherd. He wants to be your shepherd. I love you, church. I do, and I'm glad you guys let me be vulnerable and be a sloppy mess up here. But God is good. Amen, church? He is good. He's faithful. Come on, Levi. Let's do this, man. Go ahead and worship, man. Let's do this. Let's pray as the team comes up and leads us in more songs to God. There you go. Father God, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you pursue us, that you want to love us and show your love to us, Father. If there's somebody in this room, God, and I'm praying for them, Lord, if there's somebody in this room that does not know you as their Savior, they can't say, I have a personal relationship with Jesus, or maybe they're not sure, God, please help them come up front and to meet me up front, or we can meet and talk in the back afterwards, whatever it is, God, don't let them leave without just saying, man, tell me more about Jesus' love for me and what it means to give Him my life. And God, sometimes life is hard. And we walk through life and we walk through these valleys and we walk through the shadows of death. Lord, help us just know you're there. Help us be attentive to that. Help us lean on you. Father, be our shepherd. Help us be a sheep that's willing to let you lead us. Comfort us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.